Hello again, and good morning. And I hope the service has been uplifting to you and encouraging to you. One of the things we try to remind ourselves all the time, as much as this feels like it, this is not a performance. We try to lay out responsibilities, but this is not a carefully scripted delivering of a set of designed or planned tricky messages or some orchestrated program for entertainment or some feeling. It's the church family talking to each other like Christ wants us to. We come together on the first day of the week to encourage and edify and uplift one another, to glorify God, to learn of His Word, to unite ourselves with each other, to sing together, to pray together, to study and learn His Word together. And so I hope that's what this comes off as, is that that's exactly what we're doing. You see, as soon as we get all the chairs sitting this way, facing in one direction, you kind of don't really relate with each other in obvious ways. And as soon as one person is looking this way and 180 people are looking that way, it becomes kind of like a performance. Give me my top hat and cane. But it's not. It's just the church, the family of God meeting on the first day of the week. And this is a convenient way to do it. By the way, if you want to help, especially if you want to help your children to appreciate and understand the day better, have them look at the person leading the songs or at the speaker. If they look and make eye contact with the one speaking, they'll understand and appreciate more and more and more what's going on. It's just one of those listening techniques that you can help your children learn at an early age. And isn't today all about children? For without children, we wouldn't have mommies. And without mothers, we wouldn't have Mother's Day. And I love Mother's Day. I remember as a boy going out of our house in Virginia, we had a rose bush, rose vine. It just didn't end. It just went. This huge rose vine. And it was red, and we had some other colored roses around, but I don't remember my parents doing very much to get that thing to grow. It just grew like crazy. But on Mother's Day morning, we'd go out and cut off the prettiest looking buds and roses, and my mother got one, my father got one, a red one, and my brothers and I got a boutonniere, a little one, you know, as a boutonniere for church on Sunday, and my grandmothers would get white ones. We went and found a white one for them because their mothers had passed on. And that's what I had learned as a little guy you did on Mother's Day. You remembered your mom by wearing a little flower for her. So I have lots of warm memories. I'd also been a cookout in the backyard and playing around after we got home from church. So I hope your family is gathering around mom in whatever way they can. Some of you all have lost your mothers. And so there's a tear in your eye as you think about Mother's Day, and there's a difficulty. Some of you all have broken relationships with mothers, or very hard relationships with your mother. And this might be a good day to start and fix that with Christ-like forgiveness and repair. But whatever it is, men, this is kind of our day to step forward and lift up the ladies around us. Children, this is our day to step forward and lift up our mothers and show them that it was worth it. I guarantee you there are times your mom didn't know if it was worth it. Maybe now they're still thinking that. And that might be a sadder or happier thought depending on how old you are. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Precious God, that you show us the beauty of family and our relationship with you, the beauty of parenting and the power of a love given through mothers, a natural connection with children that that the ladies around us have, because in their very bodies they carried us and the little ones here as infants, that your hand was on their bodies and formed those little bitty hands and feet and hearts and eyes. Every part of us was formed inside our own mother's womb. And through the pain of childbirth, we connect ourselves even back to Adam and Eve. And remember that you are God and we are to obey you and listen to you. Father, help us to learn from being parents the thousands of lessons you need us to learn about you being our God and how we need to obey you and be yours. Help us in this lesson now to focus on your word and remember it and obey it as we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember the last verses, the last verse of the Old Testament? A couple of weeks ago we talked about Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of their fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their father. The very ending of the magnificent writing we call the Old Testament, the last thing written by our prophet Malachi, or at least within the framework of the time of Chronicles, Malachi wrote that. The last thing we have in sequence in the Old Testament, even if it wasn't literally the last words written down, is this reunion of child and parent. And dads, it's given to us. And so that's our Mother's Day gift today, or this year, or this time, will be that heart thing. And today we're going to talk about daughters. We're going to talk about daughters because our daughters are tomorrow's mothers. Some of them are today's mothers. Our daughters are the grandmothers in the church not too many years from now. Just a little while, a 10-year-old girl will be turning the corner past 20 and on to 25 and having a husband and a little child carried in her arms, and pretty soon that little child has grown up, and here's a lady that's got a skinned knee today and a confusion in her heart as to God's direction in her life, and she's ours now to raise and to teach and to lead in Christ. Our little girls are tomorrow's mothers, and they are being clobbered, or at least girls in general are being clobbered around us in this world. And I don't want to go down that road very far. There's a lot that could be said about the breadth of the garbage that's being thrown at young women and girls today. The sexualization of teenagers is long since complete. And now the next stage, and it's being done very quickly and very actively, is little children are being dragged into that same filth. Just look at the clothing, look at the advertising, look at the magazines. It's happening very quickly. And if we're going to be families that belong to God, if we're going to have fathers' hearts connected to the children, returning to the children with longing, and children's hearts devoted and following their fathers, we need to be active today to get that filth out of here. Be done with it. Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be. I've said this before, but I find that fascinating. I would say that my heart is, kind of like me or what I want, and therefore it's the center of me and kind of, you know, tough to change. And Jesus said, no, no, no. You don't put your heart out there first. You put your treasure out there first. For where your treasure is, your heart will follow. Wherever you put your treasure, your heart will just wander right over there. So it makes you think, what's treasure? Well, treasure is what you value. Well, how do you know what you value? Well, actually, what you value does change. And it can change pretty rapidly. It can change very rapidly. With what you value, that's where your interest is. That's where your effort is. And that's where your time is. And where your interest, effort, and time are put can change very quickly. And what you need to do to stabilize your life is take the rock-solid things that you know of and put your interest there, put your effort there, and put your time there. Phil, I really appreciate your lesson this morning. You can see we're overlapping totally. I thought you were going to quote from Philippians 2. You went to Philippians 4 and got the other part of complaining. So I just really appreciated that. But I just got two things for you, brother. I don't mean this to be a public conversation, but one is, today is the 400th anniversary of the founding of Jamestown, and we're talking about Valley Forge? Today is the day that the boat came to ground at Jamestown, and those 104, there were more than 104 on the boat, but the 30-some sailors, they went back. They weren't staying. Their job was just to deliver the 104 passengers. They dropped them off and said, see ya! We're going back to England. That was the first permanent English settlement on this continent. The first one that survived, and it almost didn't, kind of like Valley Forge almost didn't make it. But the other thing, brother, you know, not to be picky, you said, if you don't read any book this year, read 1776. I just got to differ with you. If you only read one book this year, anybody want to guess which book I might recommend? Oh, okay. I knew you did. I knew you did, brother. I'm just having fun with you. Do you ever had conversations that weren't quite so personal, you know? Thank you, Phil. So when you put your time and effort and energy, you know what's valuable. And you think your heart is going to be in Christ and your heart is going to be in His Word. Well, I guarantee you, if your interest isn't in His Word, and your effort isn't in His Word, and your time isn't in His Word, your heart won't be there. It won't be there. If your lip service is in His Word, and you stop for prayers at the appropriate times of the day, and you show up to church service, and you dress nice and smile nice and sing nice, people will think your heart is there. And that's the big lie. That's the thing we do. We're so good at. We know what it's supposed to look like, so we know how to show it. But our heart is off traipsing on its own little way. Wherever our love is, wherever our treasure is, wherever our interests are, our heart's going to be there. So reorient your interest, your effort, and your time, and put it where you know it ought to be. That's heart stuff for fathers to children. Okay? Return the hearts of the fathers back to their children, and the children to the fathers. So in that, what do you do? You put your interest in your children, Christ first, of course. You put your interest in your children. You put your effort into your children. You put your time in your children. And when you do that, that's where your heart will be. Your heart will be back with Christ. Your heart will be back with your children. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. But it is very much the stuff of God. We were in Talkeetna a few years ago. And Adam was a little fella. I don't know. He might have been walking. But, you know, this is a summer day. You go down to Talkeetna and people walk in the streets and licking ice cream cones and all the shops are open and whatever. And Talkeetna is one of those towns. It's an artsy community. So it has its own, oh, free thinking side of it. It's kind of like Homer and some of those other dead end roads, doesn't it? Come on. Homer's got its own. It's free. I mean, it's got lots of free thinking people. That's why when the votes come to the, which is, never mind. It goes across the whole state, not just it. But this lady came bicycling up to the front of the grocery store there, and she had a macaw, I mean a big bird, on the front, on the handlebar, if I remember right, of her bicycle. Big bird. Remember, Isaac? A big bird. And Isaac just, whoa, Dad, look at that. You know, she hopped off the bike and Isaac went over and I said, son, you know, be careful. Don't touch the bird unless the woman gives you permission or whatever. And Isaac is looking at the bird and he said to her, have you trained him to do anything? Told you this is free thinking society. And she says, oh, no. He's a free animal. I wouldn't train him. You wouldn't train a child, would you? And Isaac just looked and looked at the macaw and went on, and we went down the street. And that just bounced through my head. You wouldn't train a child, would you? God tells us in Proverbs 22:6, go underline it and keep it somewhere if you like. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The idea is that you take a little child, a little bitty one. Don't try to settle things with your girls when they're this tall. You settle things with your girls when they're this tall or this tall. That's why God made them little. We'll get to you guys. That's Father's Day. We'll talk about you later. That's why God made them little. So when they put up their little fit, you can pick them up. You can put them where you want to put them. They may not want to go in the car seat. You can put them in the car seat, you know. They may not want to go sit on the bed. You can put them on the bed. You pick them up and put them there. You train a child in the way that he should go. Ephesians 6, interesting word, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The first word there, some of yours training there. The first word there is the education of life, is educate them about everything. It's not a limiting word. It is a huge, broad word of complete education of life. And that you do it of the Lord. It's training of the Lord. It's life of the Lord. It's taught how to live for the Lord. Train your children. You better be training your children. In fact, training your children is so important, you have to be way ahead of it. You don't wait till your child misbehaves and then you teach them what they shouldn't have done. You start with them when they're little. You train them to come when you call. I'm not trying to make them sound like puppies, okay? But you train them to come when you call. You train them what no means. You train them what no means. You train them to come to you for the truth and for the right information. Tr- training happens every day of our children's lives. Because you know what training really is? Training is a lesson and then an evaluation correction combination. You know, you could say, excuse me, I had several thoughts in my mind. You know, you could say 1607, Jamestown was founded. And then you turn around and say, what's the year Jamestown was founded? And they say 1492. And you go, wrong guy. 1607. And then you say, what year was Jamestown founded? And they say 1607. You say, great, you got it. So it's a lesson and then an evaluation correction and then a reward. That's training. And then repeat. You teach them something, you evaluate, correct it, and then you reward it. And if you think that only happens in a classroom or at your kitchen table, think again. That happens every single day of our girls' lives, guys, too. You got to look like this. You got to dress like this. How about if I dress like this? Oh, you look like a geek. Okay, I'll try it again. You got to look like this. You got to dress like this. How about like this? Oh, now that's a lot better. You got a reward. Training, evaluation, correction, reward. Training, evaluation, correction, reward. Over and over and over again. Our children get trained by that system. You do too. They're not alone in this. We do too. Which is why we have to be so clear and careful about what it is and who it is that's training our children. You have a vision for the future? For your children in the future? For this church in the future? Can you see strong, working, masculine men, young men who know how to be a man, teaching and leading and being men here? Can you see caring, faithful, clear-minded women who know what it means to be a woman of God, knows what femininity means and why it's a gift of God? If that's your vision, then we have to be about that daily training to that vision. Oh, it's not lost. It's fading. It's an echo, maybe. I was watching a film of the early 1900s. It was a kind of a comedy, but I was watching a piece of this with Carol, and we were enjoying a little bit of evening entertainment. And they were sitting in a room. This is early 1900s. There's a group sitting in the room, and three of the women got up and headed to the door of the room just to go across down the hall. And one of the gentlemen in the room, this is just a comedy now, one of the gentlemen in the room got up and ran to the door and opened it. This is all a mixed comedy. No, he didn't trip any of the girls. And they went out and they went down the hall and then he closed the door. And I thought, we don't react that way anymore. We don't think like that anymore. Manners aren't something that should fade into obscurity, into the distance. In fact, most manners, almost all manners, are Christ-like. Kindness, they're considerations. Opening a door is just a perfect example. When an elder of yours walks into the room, I don't mean an elder like CBRI, I mean an older person walks into the room, or a lady walks into the room, or a lady walks up to your dining table. You're eating at Burger King, and a lady from church walks up. Young gentleman, what do? You stand up. Not sure what that was, but I think it was offer her a hamburger. You stand up. Those kinds of considerations are Christ-likeness. They're respectful. Why do you not chew with your mouth open? Out of consideration for the person sitting across the table. Almost all manners are considerations, kindnesses for the people around us, and we ought to be training ourselves and our children in those things. I want you to be hypersensitive about anything from the world. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. Anything that comes out of the world toward our children or toward our families, you should be very, very, very careful with. Some things look terrific, but if you go very far down the road with them, all of a sudden you find out that they're in flames in your hands and you don't want anything to do with them. It might be too late then. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Examine everything carefully. If it's a Disney movie, that doesn't make it okay. Believe me, they long lost their moral rudder in Disney studios. That doesn't mean every film they produce is rotten these days. But probably most of them are. Just because it comes out of our school system doesn't mean it's fact or it's proper. Carol was talking to somebody recently who said, this is happening out of state, who said that this is a Christian teacher in a whatever school system, I don't know what kind of school system, but a Christian teacher in a school system, and a Christian parent whose children are in this teacher's class, the teacher will call up the parent and say, don't send your children tomorrow, because what tomorrow's lesson is way too immoral for them to hear. I don't think your children ought to hear tomorrow's lesson. A teacher caught in a system where she's forced to present things that she doesn't think is right, warning a Christian parent to pull her child away on day X, Y, or Z. Now, I make no judgment of that. I simply offer that to you as an observation. I'd be asking a lot of questions in that situation. Romans 12, I'll just do verse 2. Remember that? Test everything. 1 Thessalonians 5. Examine everything carefully, and when you find, I left the second half of that out, and hold fast to the good. When you find something good, you hang on to it. But it's good not because it tastes good, sounds good, smells good. It's good because it agrees with God and His Word. That's what our girls need. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Something is happening to our femininity, to womanhood in this country. I tell you, if you had paid attention in the late 60s and 70s to the women's movement, you would have thought that every woman by the year 2000 would be wearing a suit, a tie, carrying a briefcase, slacks, and marching off to work. You would have thought women were being told they were equal to men, they were the same as men, they get the same jobs as men, come on, be like men, go to work. And I was buying into it. I thought, okay, sure, equal capability, equal brain, equal lives, equal. Go ahead on out there. And I've told you before, I literally thought cosmetic sales were going to fall. Women's fashions get more and more masculine. I really thought that's where we were going. But we have not gone in that direction. We have gone in two extreme directions with women today, with the images being given to our girls today. One of them is hyper-femininity, whatever you want to call it, uber-femininity, in which girls are shown how to tease, tempt, use themselves as objects, disrespect themselves, and all kind of garbage, treat their bodies in just really degrading ways, as if they're some object of desire. And that's the best way to find a guy out there. You've got to be an object he wants to look at, that he wants to get. Now, what does that do to value? What does that do to heart? What does that do to soul? What does that do to the person who wants to stand up and be real and be valued as who they are, not what they look like? The other way that women are being twisted is this kick them in the teeth, angry woman out there. the woman who she's the FBI agent who gets out there and wipes out all six bad guys at once and kicks three of them in the head and the other two wherever else you want to kick, you know. On and on and on. She hates men. She's this angry woman who goes out there and hacks people down. And she's famous in video games. She's all over video games. Actually, video games and a bunch of other sources like that is both women together. Okay? It's this kick them in the teeth. I'm angry. I got an attitude. And I'm going to hurt somebody with it. And her neckline is gone, and her, you know, so is her hemline and everything else, and she's showing everything in the middle. It's this hyper feminized, hyper angry person out there. So it's either an airheaded feminized woman, hyper feminized, or an angry, get even, revengeful woman, or both combined. But you don't find very many places where a woman of heart, a woman of purpose, a woman of strength, a woman of clarity is really held up to our girls as somebody to be respected and learned from and followed. A woman of God. They're not going to learn that anywhere else except at home. You see, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you used to walk, I'm paraphrasing slightly, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You see, this earth is filled with disobedience to God. And it's being controlled by somebody we just got introduced to, the prince of power of the air. Now, Jesus calls him the prince of this world. You heard me say, this is John 14, that I am going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you'd be glad that I was going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak to you much longer. The prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. He has no hold on me. You see, the world is controlled by Satan. And when we start our little girls up with the cutesy little stylish designs of the day, the little tight whatever and the little midriff whatever and the little cutesy whatever, but they're only little bitty things. It doesn't matter. They learn then that their clothes make them, that they need to be stylish. And you keep going up and you go up and you go up, and they come into you, they walk out of their room when they're this tall, and they're going through the living room, heading to the front door, and you say, you're not wearing that, are you? Mom. Yes, I'm wearing that. Or you can do what some girl, they'll do what some girls do, and they'll wear something that you respect getting out of the house and change when they get to wherever they're going. Because they've learned to pattern their lives after the world. We need to show young ladies how to be Christ-like. How the strength and the value of them is given to them by God Himself, not by how they look. They're so confused. They mistreat themselves this way, and this part of this segment of the people likes them for it. They don't like themselves for doing it, but they get temporary satisfaction from somebody giving them some attention. But then that fades away, and they have to change and do something else, and they have to change and do something else, and they have to change and do something else. They don't know who they are. And they end up frustrated at every level and angry at themselves for carrying no standards whatsoever except whatever whim goes on taught by our society. It's a terrible way to live. Do not hitch your wagon or let your child hitch their wagon to any worldly image or figure and goal. We have three ways to teach our children. One is exampling. It's who we are in our walk in Christ. The other is training. And that's what I talked about earlier, that teaching a point, evaluating the point, correcting it, and then rewarding that point. You teach it, you evaluate it, and then you reward it. You teach it, you evaluate it, and then you reward it. And the third is defending. Because those two first points will get the ideas there, but it won't defend your child from the bombardment of the filth out of this world. I tell you what, I've wanted to record a video. I was thought about putting a video up here of different things. One of noise, one of not loud things. I mean, one of exciting things. I was going to take a lot of the exciting movies and cut one exciting scene after another exciting scene after another exciting scene after another exciting scene after another exciting scene. And I don't know, I'll stop and say, anybody want to read the Bible? Did you know Noah built an ark? Come on, Robert, do something exciting. Well, no, actually, let's talk about it. It doesn't hold a candle. The Word of God and what we do here on Sunday morning doesn't hold a candle in excitement and thrills to what's going on out there. Come on. There's some exciting stuff. Let's get on with it. That's why people constantly want to change what we do this in the morning. Want a more exciting song. Want more exciting this. Want more exciting that. But when all that comes crashing down, early in the middle of adult life, you're looking for a rock to be left standing on. Our teenagers need our filter. Our children need us as filters to prevent them from getting hung up and caught up in the garbage and the emptiness of this world. Three things you need to be doing. You need to be exampling. You need to be training, and you need to be defending. And that'll be raising up ladies to be moms who will honor here in the future, or wherever they are in Christ. Mother's Day will continue as an honorable point, not of broken relationships restored, but of strong women who know how to be women in Christ, because they walked and got taught to be a woman when they were a child. That rock is there. It's always there. We need to show it to our children that it's there, that they can learn to stand on it as little guys. Their prayers as little people are answered. They are rewarded by Christ in their lives and in their relationships when they're young. And they'll know over and over and over again that Christ is there for them, so that when they decide to be baptized into Him and their walk with God becomes theirs, not something they do with you as their parent, they'll know it and they'll be confident in it. If there's any here today who are ready to be baptized into Christ, if you want your life to be found in Him, we took the bread and the cup earlier. That body was nailed to the cross. That blood is available to wash away our sins. That's a lot of blood to wash away millions and millions and millions of people's sins. But God does it. He absolutely does it. He'll wash away your sins, and then almost unbelievably, you'll be clean as white as snow. That's worthwhile. All that temporary emptiness of this fashion or that idea or this neat stuff is more empty than I can describe and twice as evil. We want to have nothing to do with that stuff. We want Christ in our families. We want Christ in our lives. And we want to be in Christ. If anyone here is ready to be baptized into Christ, please come forward. If you have any other needs that we can help you with, come forward and let us know.